Hi, this is Sid. This track is from my CD, The Dead Sea Scrolls, Pieces from an Ancient Puzzle. The CD's five stories trace the scrolls and their origins, including their chance discovery and how the fragments were pieced together.
Welcome, everyone, to the first annual Great Copper Scroll Debate. Before I introduce our distinguished speakers, allow me to provide a bit of background information for people unfamiliar with the subject. In 1952, archaeologists excavating a cave near Qumran discovered two small scrolls resting all alone on a shelf in the back of the cave. Actually, they were two parts of the same scroll, which had broken apart. The archaeologists were astonished to find that the scroll was made out of copper. No copper scroll had ever been discovered in the area before, or I might add, since. The copper scroll was unique. Scholars had become even more excited about examining the scroll after one of them recognized the words gold and silver on the backs of the letters that had been punched in the copper. The scholars wondered whether the scroll could be a treasure map. The problem was that they couldn't unroll it. Pieces crumbled when touched. They eventually cut it into pieces with the use of a circular saw and found that indeed the copper scroll was a treasure map. It contained 64 entries, listing the locations where someone had hidden vast quantities of gold and silver. The entries were simply written, without flourish or elaboration. In the eastern underground cavity at the north of Kakhlit, 70 talents of silver. In the dwelling of the queen on the western side, dig 9 cubits, 27 talents. In addition to these straightforward directions, the scrolls also contain two mysterious items. First, Greek letters in groups of two and three appeared next to six of the entries. We still don't know what they mean, because no one has ever been able to decipher them. The final entry posed another mystery. It cryptically stated that at the 64th and last location, searchers would find a copy of this writing and its explanation, and the measurement and details of each item. But to this date, no one has found any treasure. So scholars continue to argue about whether the copper scroll contained a list of real treasure or whether it was just some kind of fantasy or folktale. That's what we are here to debate. Allow me now to introduce our esteemed speakers. On my right, representing the pro side, the side that believes the copper scroll contained a list of real treasure, we have Dr. Digsworth, professor of mining and metals at our state university. Welcome, Dr. Digsworth.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And on my left, representing the con side, the side that views the list of treasure as a kind of folktale, we have Dr. Dreamland, a professor of story and culture at our city college. Welcome, Dr. Dreamland.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, gentlemen, let's begin. The rules of this debate are simple. I'll ask a question, and either one of you can choose to answer first. When he's finished, his opponent will get a chance to comment on the subject. Let's begin with the scroll itself. Is there anything about the makeup of the scroll that would support your position? Dr. Digsworth, I see you wish to begin.
Yes, I do. Because the composition of the scroll is important to my argument. First, it's obvious that the scribe wanted the scroll to be permanent, because he made it out of metal rather than parchment made from animal skins or papyrus. Second, he made it out of copper, a metal that was very expensive at the time, and not just any copper. Researchers who have analyzed it have discovered it was a very pure grade of copper, containing only 1% tin. Now I ask you, would someone use very expensive metal to make a permanent record of a phony treasure? I think not.
Now, Dr. Dreamland?
I grant that the material the scroll is made of makes it seem as if the scroll is describing something special, but...
Thank you, Professor.
Excuse me, but I wasn't finished. As I was saying, I grant that the fact that the scroll is made of copper makes it seem special, but looking at the way it was written leads you to the opposite conclusion. The scribe wrote it in a Hebrew different from any other Hebrew that was used at the time. The same is true of his system of spelling. It appears the scribe was writing in some unknown village dialect. In addition, he was a poor scribe. Even given the difficulty of pounding letters into metal, it's obvious he lacked training. It seemed he even made spelling errors. So why would an untrained scribe from a small village be chosen to write such an important document? The answer is obvious. He wouldn't. If someone wanted to make a list of real treasure, he would put the job into the hands of the best scribe he could find. Thank you both for those interesting points. Now let's look at where the scroll was discovered. Does the placement of the scroll in the cave support either position? Ah, Dr. Treblin, I see you would like to begin. Please.
Yes, I'd like to begin because the scroll's positioning is certainly important. If this scroll describes hidden treasure, why place it in a cave that already has other things hidden in it? Wouldn't you want to find a special place for this secret scroll? Wouldn't you want to place it in its own secret cave, rather than in a cave frequented by any number of people, people who might read it and dig up the treasure?
Let me answer that. Someone did put it in a special place. He placed it on a shelf in the back of the cave, away from the other items.
Yes, but it was still in the cave with the other documents.
Gentlemen, please remember the debate's format. No bickering, please. Each of you will get a chance to state his position on each question. Now let us turn to the treasure itself.
Fantasy.
Excuse me?
It's a fantasy. Do you know how much treasure the scroll describes? If you total up the amount from all the 64 sites, you would have 4,630 talents of gold and silver. Though we're not sure how much a talent weighs, but estimates range between 25 and 75 pounds. That means that the hidden treasure would consist of between 58 and 174 tons of gold and silver. That's up to 348,000 pounds.
Not a fantasy at all. Not at all. It's obvious that my learned colleague doesn't know his ancient history. For instance, the Persian kings annually collected 40 tons of gold from their subjects. Or consider King David. It's said that he left Solomon 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver and such a quantity of bronze. It couldn't even be weighed. So it is possible that some group could have accumulated and hidden 174 tons of treasure.
But whose treasure was it?
The best guess is that the treasure came from the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. The priests could certainly have amassed such a treasure. It's thought that when the Romans began their invasion of Israel, the priests decided to take the temple treasure and hide it in various parts of the country in case Jerusalem fell to the Romans. A few references in the scroll to religious practices, such as tithing, support this theory. Not only that, but many of the sites are situated near Jerusalem.
But why would the temple priests hide a treasure map with their enemies? The Essenes hated the temple priests.
I can't really answer that,
You see, again, I maintain it's clearly a fantasy, a folktale.
Balderdash! If it is a folktale, where are the great characters? Where are the wondrous items and places? For that matter, where's the action? The scroll resembles a grocery list.
Well, I can't explain that, but if the treasure were real,
explain why it hasn't been found.
Please, gentlemen, remember the format. If you
maybe it has been found. Maybe over the centuries, people have found the sites and dug up the treasure. Perhaps you're right. It hasn't been found. That would be due to the scroll's vague description of location on the eastern side, at the reservoir, etc.
Malarkey! The treasure has never been found because there never was any treasure.
Oh, yes, there was.
Oh, no, there wasn't.
Yes, there was.
No, there wasn't.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
I apologize for our debaters. But I think now you can see how difficult it is to decide whether the Copper Scroll was a real treasure map or not. Scholars still aren't sure. Perhaps one day, someone will be able to decipher the meaning of the strange Greek letters found next to six of the entries. Perhaps these letters will reveal the truth. Or maybe someday, someone will find the site mentioned in the last entry and find what the scroll promised, a copy of this writing and its explanation. That explanation might contain a code allowing researchers to find the real places the treasure has been hidden. Or maybe it will simply say that the writer hopes you have enjoyed his folktale of fantastic treasures. Until that time, you can decide for yourself what you think the explanation would say and where you stand on the great Copper Scroll mystery. Thank you for coming, and good night.
I hope you enjoyed listening. This story is distributed under a Creative Commons license, which requires attribution for all reproduction and prohibits commercial use. Find out more about me at my website, sidlieberman.com. That's SYDLIEBERMAN.com.